from deep in the heart of Ottawa, Canada. That's the Soul Jazz Orchestra with People, People. It's from their 2008 album, Manifesto. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we rejoin each other in rather contentious circumstances with what's going on all around us, but will have direct effect on all of us. You may know that the stock market had to stop trading for a while this morning because it looked so bleak. And then they thought about it and figured out that to stop trading would make things even worse. So they've resumed trading because stocks declined so precipitously this morning due to an oil crash that was looming, crash in oil prices, and also the ever-present coronavirus issue, which is now global, and this administration says it is now considered a pandemic, a global crisis. Well, let's take one of these things at a time. The trading issue, I can't tell you the details. This is not my part of the world, but I will have someone to explain to us what is actually happening. And it seems, this is my basic understanding, it seems as if there is a major point of contention as to who controls the market and with what. And the with what is oil production. Principally, we have Saudi Arabia, which produces in excess of 1 million barrels of oil a day, and many other players in the oil production business, but principally Russia. The United States does not produce that much oil. It consumes oil, but it's not a major producer of oil. But the issue was over two things. One, oil production, the quantity of oil produced by Russia, by Saudi Arabia, and other players, and therefore the price per barrel of oil. The more oil produced, the less will be charged per barrel. And this is now a major, major issue. We don't know how this will work out, but we know that as of this morning, some people seem to be coming to their senses that this, what is inevitable, which would be a world crash, a major, major situation, should be avoided at all costs. I don't know how, if anybody is into talks about this, the both sides and others, because this is a global issue now. The oil producers are one thing, and then the consumer countries are another thing. And all of that is controlled on the world market. So it looks like it's going to be a major problem. It's already a major problem because they actually had to stop trading this morning. That is not a good sign at all. And we don't know whether there's going to be immediate discussion and how it will be resolved, if it is to be resolved. All we know is that we see the connection. We think we live in a in a huge world. We really live in a very small world. And there are issues that we have no clue about because we're not in that world. But the people who are flexing their muscles on all sides, and this is the result. It, of course, is scaring the rest of the world. The entire world now is in a state of panic. Is there going to be a giant worldwide collapse of the international marketing system? Are things going to be even worse than the Depression years? These are the questions that are now occupying the minds of people like you and me. Normally, we don't really think about the day-to-day travails in that world, in that sector of the world. We're not part of that world, so we don't think very much about it. We assume they know what they're doing and that, you know, things are running smoothly. But then comes a situation like this, where we have big fights breaking out, and we're talking here about trillions of dollars. And we're also talking about political realignments. Saudi Arabia has reached that point where it believes it is entitled to the respect of the world as a leading oil producer. Russia too, not too long ago, Russia was not in this league, but it is now. And it is flexing its muscles so that a decision in Moscow literally can affect the entire world. What it chooses to charge for its oil, its various grades of oil that it exports on the global market, how that is being challenged by Saudi Arabia, with the United States playing a major role here. Again, the United States is not a major producer of oil, although it is a major consumer of oil. So in that sense, it has an influence on this pull and tug on the global scale. And therefore, automatically, that calls into question the possibility of how these countries, whichever side they're on, may choose to affirm their rights in the global marketplace. I'm talking about war, which is how most countries anticipate the possibility that it is not just at this stage, it's not just a fight, a theoretical fight, or a principal fight among these nations. It is also, what are they likely to do? How far are they likely to go to shore up their position in the world market? This is big money, and they all have the power to inflict damage if they so choose to go the military route of saying, you're doing me wrong, you know it, and if you don't change your position, we'll attack you. Just because you deserve it. So this is a drama that's going on. We have no role in this. We have no part in this. We have no power of influence in this big quarrel. All we can hope for is that common sense will prevail. Tempers would be calmed, and people get to a point of agreement where they can sit down and talk and get these matters resolved, because it is incomprehensible that trade issues should lead to a devastating war, and it will be devastating if it does occur. But we can't treat it all so casually. We have to pay attention to the fact that this is the possibility that is riding along with countries disagreeing with each other and apparently unable to come to a rational outcome, a rational decision. So that greets us this morning. And by the way, part of the discussions, part of the issues that they're having concerns the coronavirus. Production is down, it is said, because the coronavirus is having a negative impact all over the world. And yet, our president insists that that's not happening here. The United States has everything under control. Things are going along fine. The administration is responding accordingly. And yes, there have been a few deaths. Actually, there have been more than a few deaths. But here's the thing that is so irritating and almost unforgivable about this administration. Everybody, every country in the world recognizes this is a major global problem, and it will not get any better anytime soon. It has reached a point where international organizations are calling it, a global problem, a pandemic. And it will soon get worse because they haven't yet gotten, when I say they, I mean the people in the medical field, they haven't yet gotten a handle on just what this virus is, the nature of the virus, how it behaves, how it could be stopped, and so forth. But in the meantime, heads of state of different countries where the virus has shown up to devastating effect are at least talking about it with their fellow citizens and telling them as truthfully as they can just what it is their nations, their various nations, are facing and dealing with. Like any virus, even something we dismiss routinely called the flu, we don't think of it as a big deal. But that's because we don't understand and we haven't yet comprehended that the flu has caused more deaths in the United States than any other disease. The flu is a very dangerous virus, but we have been lulled into a space of comfort, supposedly knowing that, we can deal with it. take a couple of pills, get a couple of shots, stay in bed, cover up, give yourself a couple of days, and you're good to go. That is a very super simplistic analysis of what the flu really can do and what it has been doing. We are not up in arms because the information is not routinely shared with the people. People have no concept generally in their day-to-day dealings just how dangerous the flu is. You say, I just have a cold. Because to tell the people the truth, this is the reasoning of the power structure, to tell people the truth of it, one, will cost too much money, because that would be now a national education project. And number two, it may cause too much panic. So the government, in its wisdom, decides just how much panic we can cope with. And we can't cope with the panic of the reality of the flu and death. So nothing is said. Our common knowledge about the flu is you get a runny nose and you get bleary eyes and you go to your pharmacist. In an extreme case, you go to the doctor and you get a couple of pills and you're good to go. This is the kind of game that has been played with the people's health. This is a national concern. This should be a national standard issue concern. And now we have the coronavirus again reminding us that when you're talking about viruses, it's not like getting, you know, a nick or a cut on your leg. It's a very serious matter. And it is the role of government, I think, to educate the public about any and all things, diseases and so forth, that are life-threatening. But still, there is a protocol, such as it exists. We don't have a protocol yet, a standard protocol for dealing with the coronavirus. What its information, I guess, as the health authorities learn more about how the virus behaves and what would work to attenuate the impact of this virus, the effect of the virus. But that does not mean that a national effort should be made. You have a national emergency. Everybody attached to any World Health Organization is saying so. We have our head of Health and Human Services, who used to be, who was doubling with housing as his portfolio, saying, yes, we have a plan on what we will do with these cruise ships coming back home, but I'm not going to be discussing that. They're telling you, or we're being told, that we don't need to know these things. When the time is right, they'll tell us. And by then, of course, it would be too late. We have had deaths occurring in 34 states so far. Are they waiting for all 50 states to be involved in coronavirus deaths? This makes no sense. the president was making a big deal that he allocated, and he and Congress allocated $8 billion to get prepared for treatment of the coronavirus. You know that that's not going to work. That is not going to work. It's a drop in the bucket. There is no coordinated effort, despite the fact that the administration, the president, is making it, making a strong effort to let people know that we're safe. We're in good hands. Things are working just as planned. We're responding well. Do you believe that? Do you see any evidence of it anywhere in your community? I remember that we had an outbreak of typhoid fever when I was a kid in Trinidad, and everybody knew what typhoid fever was and what to do if you're feeling feverish. Everybody knew. And we were a little country without the resources of the mighty United States. Everybody knew. Because it was considered a national issue, a national agenda. And it was life-threatening. That's how serious it was. So the whole country mobilized. And you had posters, you had signage, you had all kinds of things, leaflets going on to tell people, watch out for typhoid fever. It's rainy season, mosquitoes are laying their eggs, and you have to watch out for collections of water around your house, get rid of those, and you know, cut your grass, don't have tall grass. These are some simple things, but I'm making the point that it was a national effort in which everybody felt obligated to play a part, to help stamp it out, because their children are dying. Here we have a president and a whole administration taking an adversarial role against the people. And we see from time to time medical experts contradicting, openly contradicting the president, trying to correct him about the wrong things, the wrong information he's sharing. And we're sitting here just like, you know, ducks waiting to be slaughtered. And nobody is chastising this president. In the same way that nobody is saying they have issues with his mental acuity. They have questions about his mental health and stability. We have a national, which is now part of the international concern and movement around the coronavirus. And people don't know where to go. People don't know what signs to look for, what they can do proactively, except everybody's saying wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Okay. Well, that certainly isn't a solution, is it? It gives people the impression that this is easily solved if you wash your hands for 20 seconds. It is not an intelligent way to approach a national crisis, which is part of a global crisis. Now, today, as we awoke, we have a combination. We have Wall Street collapsing this morning, trading stopped, and we have the coronavirus. Which of these two major events do you think the president is more concerned about? Which is going to get the immediate attention of this administration? This is the reality we are living in. Immediately, you have to protect the stocks and bonds from declining in value. You have to shore things up. You have to do everything you can to persuade the big people on Wall Street that you're going to save the day. You're letting everybody know what you're doing, what is happening. You're giving reporters free rein to calm the populace. Tell them what's going on. The minute you can recharge Wall Street and stop that momentary pause, everybody's reporting it. So to calm the people, we have the coronavirus, and the leader of this nation and his administration are taking the position that we are, they're telling us we are in good shape. Don't worry. Nothing is going to happen. Well, yeah, we had deaths in 34 states, but you know how these things go. That's exactly the reaction we're getting. I'll take a break right now, come back to your thoughts about the state of affairs that we woke up in today, right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. It's a rather sobering day. But still, we cannot be discouraged. We are fighters, after all. But we have to learn how to fight in these times when things are so complicated. We have one thing that seemingly is completely unrelated to the other, taking the lead this morning, and that is a major crisis on Wall Street that has led us to believe that the other thing is second. No, they're not. It's not second at all. We have to fight on, and we have to fight on smartly, but we first have to recognize what is happening. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Trice. Thanks for taking my
Hello.
Call.
Hello.
I just wanted to correct something you said earlier about the United States oil production. Right now, the United States leads the world in oil production. The top three oil producers in the world are, number one, United States with 15 million barrels, Saudi Arabia, number two, with 12 million barrels, and Russia at number three with 10, almost 11 million barrels per day. And also, I just wanted to say that I believe that this oil situation is linked to this coronavirus pandemic that we're going through in the world. Basically, I'm sure you've heard of the shale boom or shale production, in which these oil producers have been able to explore for more and more oil. That's what actually led to the United States ramping up production. And what's happened over the years is that the United States has been taking more of what they call market share away from countries like Russia and Saudi Arabia, which used to be the larger producer of oil, and has allowed the United States to become the number one producer of oil, because you can't produce the oil if there's no one to buy it. And what's been happening is that global demand, and it's been pretty much since Trump has been president, the world has been pretty much in the recession. It hasn't been technically in a recession, but it's pretty much has been in a recession, and partly due to the strong dollar, things like that. But now with this coronavirus, it has pretty much sped up the recession outlook for the world, and now it has come home to the United States, where you have a lot of the airline industries, the cruise line industries, and things of those nature. They're going to start feeling the crunch. And the United States, the only thing that was keeping up the United States from going into recession was what they called the consumer. This was a consumer-led economy that Trump enjoyed these past 3 years. And now that the coronavirus threatens that, these countries like Russia and Saudi Arabia, they're jockeying for position coming this long recession that I believe we're going to have. So that's pretty much what they're doing. They're trying to break the small oil company producers that cannot continue to produce oil at these low levels, like the shale company that we have here in the United States. So you're going to start seeing a lot of these companies going bankrupt if this continues.
Well, I want to thank you for that, because I got different information, which I quoted from a different source. But I take your instruction and your correction, and I thank you for contributing that, because that's not what I read. But I'm glad that you're there and listening and taking the initiative to set the record straight on oil production. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. So basically my point is that these companies, they're pretty much arguing with each other over who's going to maintain market share, because the United States pretty much has been like squeezing themselves in between these two countries over the past several, it's been about 10 years that they've been doing this. The United States little by little has been creeping up on these countries. And but what Trump is trying to do, he's trying to delay. That's why we're seeing this delayed reaction to this this coronavirus situation, where they're trying to, pretty much say, oh, there's nothing, you know, if you're feeling a little sick, it's okay, you can go to work, and all, you know, they're basically trying to get by through the election, because Trump, the only thing Trump really had going for him was the election. Notice it in the Democratic debates, they never brought up the economy. The only thing that Trump had going for him was the economy, you know, and that's why the Democrats never really challenged him on the economy. But now this coronavirus threatens that. So that's why you're seeing this delayed and trying to tone things down and trying to brush it aside as if it's nothing at our expense.
Well, I'm glad that you called in for sure today. Thank you so much. That was a very good contribution. Thank you. We go next to New York City with Gwen. You're on the air.
Hi, Atrice. How are you?
Hi. Okay.
Good. I'm not sure. I tuned in a little late. I fell asleep. I was taking a nap. But I'm here. First of all, you're talking about Corona. And I just wanted to say that my mother called me tonight. My mom is 93, and she lives, in Cape May, which is like 4 hours from here. And she said, I really felt bad today. I was achy, and my eyes feel like there's sand in them. And so I said, okay, I'm not sure what this is. So the mayor in New York said to call 311 if we had any questions. So I'm just calling to let you know about the system here, that I did call 311, and, you know, efficiently they had a voice mail, you know, that you heard when you called, telling you the symptoms of corona. So symptoms of corona are a fever, a cough, and there's one other thing, but it wasn't aches. So I stayed on the line, though, just to be safe and wait for an operator who, you know, not that I would think 311 would know so much, but this is what we do know you can't do. She said there's nobody on 24 hours a day on this line to talk to you as a person about this disease. You'd have to call tomorrow. And really didn't have any advice as to where you should go if you thought, you know, you did have this disease. She didn't say whether to go to the hospital or not to go to the hospital. So I deduced that probably my mother has the flu, and I, you know, did what I could do over the phone with that until somebody gets to her house this week. We have a nurse coming in. But what I walked away from with this is how vulnerable we are as a nation, that really, now that we all know there is no answer to this, there is no answer. But when you speak to the people that are, you know, supposed to be in authority, it is a little scary because they don't sound like they know too much more than the rest of us. I also wanted to know if I can make a comment on the election during today's show, or is that too off topic?
Well, we're going to the election tomorrow.
Okay. All right, then. Tomorrow is Super Tuesday again. Okay. All right, so I will wait till tomorrow, and I will make my comments then and hold them in the best I can, okay? But that's what I have experienced so far with corona. I mean, if anybody really has it that you're around, it doesn't sound like there's anything that the people that are in charge can tell you to do. There's not an instruction. And then the other thing, I guess, which is even more scary, is that there doesn't seem to be any of these kits. Like, even if you did get to the hospital, there's no way to diagnose whether you have this or not, because apparently there's not enough of these kits available. And I don't understand why the CDC will not let the doctors in our states just use what they have to analyze it. I don't know why it has to come from the CDC, since they don't have what we need to give us. But it's scary on the ground. And I did go to, I went to my favorite store yesterday, the dollar store, and I was very sad to go in and see that almost nothing was on the shelf. It was crazy. Like, people have really been going bananas. They're buying, all the food is gone. Almost all the food is gone. All the alcohol is gone. It's like we're going into a hurricane or something. It's very, very scary. But it's only a matter of time. You know, I'm a makeup artist, and it's only a matter of time before it really is going to have a huge hit. I mean, how many people are going to want to come in and have their makeup done with lipsticks? You know, we clean everything. We clean our brushes. We clean our lipsticks. We clean everything the best we can. But, you know, I can't tell you if it's 100%. So I can't really do safely a makeover on somebody and say for sure I know whether or not, you know, everything is fine. I don't. So I think it's going to affect a lot more if we don't get it under control. I think it's going to have an enormous effect on our country and the world.
Thanks for calling in today, Gwen. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and hope you're doing well also.
I'm hanging in.
Yeah, we're all hanging either by our thumbs or our toes or something, right? Well,
we're all
here
hanging.
Here I'm going to go with my out-of-the-box thinking And, you know, the virus started in a city in China. They're saying it has something to do about with bats, right? And it jumps from there to Korea and somehow ends up all the way over here and Italy. And to me, that's kind of strange that it would come to Italy and then to here. Well, they're saying people travel around and they got it and they brought it here. Okay, that could be possible. What I'm thinking is this virus is designed to cut the population down, you know, to bring it down to half of what it is. And if they started it in
the place... Where are you getting that?
Like I said, it's a thought that I have in my head that's an idea that I think could be happening.
It's okay to have a thought in your head, but you are exporting this thought as if there's more to it, as if there's evidence to it, as if there's proof to it. It's no longer a thought.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a thought. I don't have any evidence.
But expressing a thought that may very well be premature and or off base is dangerous.
Why is that?
Why is it dangerous? Yes. Because you are performing the role of a person providing, quote, information, unquote. And you have no way of proving that the information that you're sharing is bona fide, investigated and provable.
Okay.
So I'm not allowed when to you say do what this, I have. Though, when you do this, it is not a simple matter. It's not something trivial. It's very serious. When people who are acting in this way, they're called these days influencers, not influencers, but influencers. You are influencing other people's thinking, but doing so with information that isn't airtight. You can't say that everything you're telling us now has been proven. Or you can't cite a credible outlet or a credible magazine or something like that that says, this is what they found, or this is what they reported. This is just coming out of the head of Zeus today.
All right. Well, what about when I predicted how the election was going to go in the primary in the Democratic Party 6 months ago, and now it's all turning out the way I said it?
That is the election. I will give you that. No problem.
All right. But this is even this more is important.
This is something different. It's not about proving your accuracy. It's not about proving the consistency of your accuracy. It is about saying, when you share information like this at a time like this in an environment like this, you are also acting as an influencer of opinion. You are probably influencing people's way of thinking. And the question is, are you entitled to do that? Do you have the right to do that? It's not just expressing an opinion. You could express an opinion about the color pink. That's fine. This is a life and death matter in which the whole world is involved. And so in this atmosphere, we have to be extremely careful about what we say and just add on the tag that, well, this is what I think. Okay, so that's what you think. you may be thinking wrong. Then what?
Exactly.
You say,
that's
oops.
All I'm saying. It's an opinion. I'm not saying that.
But
this
an opinion still, in this opinion that you're expressing, this is what I'm trying to tell you. There are opinions, and then there are opinions. You're not just expressing an opinion. You're expressing a point of view as if it is valid and proven. You haven't proven it. You said, they said it started with bats. Who are the they? Has that been proven? You see, we have to be careful. When you're talking about a thing, an issue that is likely or that has been shown to be affecting a tremendous number of people all over the world, you have to be careful.
Right? And they can tell us stories. That's where I heard about the bats from the major media was reporting that. Right?
Yeah, they reported that. They said at one point
it
was snakes. Then they said at one point it was pangolins. So,
right. So if they can do it, why can't I do it then? If they can make
No, that's not the attitude. No. If they can do it. If somebody could blow up a building, why can't you?
Because I got more sense than to do that.
You're missing the point. You're missing the point. What I'm saying simply is this. We are in a critical state in this country right now because we are beset by a crisis. We're referring specifically to the coronavirus. It's a crisis situation.
Right.
And all kinds of things happen in a crisis. But very often we have information that is either no good or that is off the mark and unreliable, and it influences people. Based on what a person would say, another person would decide, I don't need to go to the doctor because that person said so and so. So be on point. This is what I'm suggesting to you, to be on point. We can't let our guard down. It's a very, very dangerous time. And we have to be mindful that even when you think people, you know, are not really paying too much attention to some of the things that you might say, they may very well be paying attention. And it may very well be affecting the decisions that they make. Okay? Thanks for calling in. Everlasting from Alabama, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice. How are you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Okay, I just off there for a second because, like say if you told me something that, you know, was opinionated, you say, look here, Everlasting, the opinion is this, that, whatever, has no basis of what's going on. My ego, I have to put it to the side and say, you know what, Yatrice, you're right, let's go on because, like you said, that opinion is misleading. It has no basis for what's going on right now. So sometimes, you know, even though it may be hard for the person to accept, it's going to accept and move on. But anyway, what I was saying is that, like the first caller, I'm in agreement with you. I've heard several other things about oil production in countries that produce this oil. Now, if the United States is the number one producer of oil, that's new to me. And I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it's not because you have to have different sources of information. However, mm-hmm. I can't see how they could be the leading producer of oil and buy so much oil abroad. Now, let me tell you what some person said before. Well, the reason why they're doing that, because they're trying to save the oil, I mean, you know, wow. But then again, if that was the case, why is the job production in the oil field down? But anyway, that's I'm going to agree with you, but you have to have different sources sometimes and put them together and then try to get a conclusion based on the totality of the information instead of just from one source. But I just wanted to say I was in agreement with you on that. But getting back to, like, what you were saying about Russia and these people getting together and hopefully that they can get together and they can resolve something, okay? But now we have to look at the fact that what if that hope doesn't happen? What if they don't do it? What are we in position to do if they don't resolve it? What are we as a people in position to do. What I would say also, we have to get some kind of like a people's research team, people's accounting team, a people, so that we can go and do the research ourselves and stop having to depend on these people who, of course, Trump and them are going to say the economy is great. They're multimillionaires. But that's not the same person. Of course the economy is great to them. What about the person struggling, working two jobs and still homeless and can't even afford to pay rent, have a job, but can't even afford the rent because it's so high? Is the economy great to those people? So I'm just saying, and I don't know the answer, don't get me wrong. That's why we have to collectively come together and dialogue and come up with the answer. I can't tell you what the answer is because I don't know for sure. But together, we can come together. We can put our minds together. We might not come up with the answer the first time, maybe the second, third, or fourth. But we have to start doing, what if these people don't resolve it and start? So what are we going in position to do then? You see what my point is on that?
I certainly do. And I
don't know if that makes sense or not, but
It's still a comfort that even if you don't have the answers, you're raising the right questions.
Right.
See, that is also important. You're raising the right questions. So that whenever people get around to formulating answers, if they are impacted by or affected by your questions and our questions, that is also a help. So I wanted you to appreciate the fact that raising the right questions is also important.
Very right. Because, you know,
thanks for calling in. I just wanted to get a couple more calls if we can before we go. And the time is short. Leslie from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Hi, I am so glad to get on, especially since Gwen seems particularly upset about all the problems with supplies being taken out. Now I'm reading from the Orthomolecular Medicine News Service. That's ORTHOMOLECULAR.org. They say, these are doctors who are writing these articles, the coronavirus pandemic can be dramatically slowed or stopped with the immediate widespread use of high doses of vitamin C. Everybody's heard of that, vitamin C. Physicians have demonstrated the powerful antiviral action of vitamin C for decades. And woe is the media, especially the Washington Post, saying vitamin C is a waste of time. So go to the website, look up the article, you get all the information that you need. You should read everything on that website about the coronavirus because they come up every year and vitamin C can fix you. They also suggest vitamin D, magnesium, zinc, and selenium. And they reduce these for children.
That's my cue. I have to go. I'm so sorry, but we can pick it up again tomorrow. Thanks, everyone, for contributing today. And we should keep the discussion going. As you can see, it is vital that we continue talking to each other because we raise the right questions. And therefore, hopefully, we would want to pursue the right answers. Thanks again. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.
People, get it together. People, people.